All right, now, I'm sure learning a lot out of all this. It's just really helping me, and I hope that it'll help you as I learn about it too. But the more I look at it, the more amazed I am at how shallow everybody looks, and how we always have, looks at sin and its cure. There's just so much here that you can just keep digging, and the deeper you dig, the richer it gets, the more you see. Let's read the first seven verses of Leviticus chapter 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin. Well, I guess you don't have to then. I guess it's not just an absolute necessity and assurance that everybody sins all the time. If a soul sin. And commit a trespass against the Lord. Against the Lord. And lie unto his neighbor. In that which was delivered him to keep. Or in fellowship. Or in a thing taken away by violence. Or have deceived his neighbor. Or have found that which was lost. And lieth concerning it. And sweareth falsely. In any of these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, then he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal. I mean, give back what he took, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. When he comes to do this trespass offering, and it's a voluntary thing, that tells you that he knows he's done wrong, and he's sorry, and he's repented about it, and he wants to be right. He wants to make it right with the person he wronged, and he wants to be right with God. So if he's going to do that, if he's going to come and seek forgiveness, then this is how he has to do it. There ain't no other way. You can't just say, well, you know, I made a mistake. I made some bad choices there. Too bad. But God's forgiven me. I know he has. So, and go on. No, you ain't forgiven. God ain't forgiven you. They haven't forgiven you. This thing is, you're still guilty. You're still going to answer for it later. This is the way you do it. In the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering, unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for any thing of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So now tonight what we're going to talk about for just a few minutes here, just trespass and sin. There's two different things there. Now, a trespass is a sin, no matter how you cut it. But there's a difference in the trespass and the sin. And so it's real important to make that distinction. Now we got to put things in the proper order and understand the distinctions between sin and trespasses. Sin is transgression of the divine law. Now that is what sin is. Sin is when you defy, you ignorantly or you willingly, presumptuously defy and ignore God's law. God's moral law. That's sin. Trespass is to commit any offense or to do any act that injures or annoys another. It's to violate any rule of rectitude to the injury of another. Trespass is when I do something to you that hurts you, wrongs you, takes away from you, diminishes you, slander, you know, anything that I do, anything that I say that hurts you, that's a trespass. I've trespassed against you. I've crossed the line. I've went too far. I mean, I've affected your life. That's a trespass. Sin is transgression of the divine law. Trespass is what we do to one another. Now, so the trespass offering deals with all the different aspects of sin and trespasses. Do you ever notice in your Bible that it always words it that way? Your sins and trespasses. Sins and trespasses. If it's the same thing, why does it double up like that? Why does it say it twice every time? It's not. Not saying it twice every time. There's two different things we got to look. Sin is a multifaceted thing. And we got to look at all aspects of it. That's what these offerings have brought out already that we can see. There's sins of ignorance, things about us that offend God, things where we transgress the law of God without even really realizing because of what we are, how we are, and how God works on us through our life after we're saved to weed that stuff out of us. Trespasses? Different thing. Well, those ought to diminish real quickly after we're saved. We shouldn't be trespassing against other people. The love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that lives in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of that. I mean, it ought to just change the way we treat other people, talk to other people, the way we handle business with other people. All of our interactions with other people ought to change drastically when we get saved. Mm-hmm. But what is the distinction between sin and trespass? All right, now listen to me. Sin is against God, not others. We sin against God. We don't really... Now, I know the Bible says it in a lot of places where you sin against so-and-so. But really, when you pare it down and you speak precisely about it, sin is against God. We trespass against one another. And when we trespass against one another, we sin against God. It's a dual thing. You cannot. Trespass is the injury that we do to one another. Sin is what we do to God when we ignore His law. And we're not sinning against God's law. We're sinning against God. You see? If you go to the market like we did down in Mexico, they had scales at every one of these places where they're selling fruits and vegetables or meat or whatever, and they'd have scales. Sometimes they'd have them rigged. That's been since the Bible. I mean, from the beginning, you see it in the Bible. A false balance is an abomination to God. But when they cheat you with their scales, they're not trespassing against the scales. They're trespassing against you. So you can't blame it on the scales. You can't blame your sin on the law. You can't say it's the law that I sinned against. I broke God's law. You sinned against God. And the Bible's very clear about it. It's a personal, you trespassed against the Lord. That's the way our scripture started out. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, it's a trespass against the Lord. And you call that sin. That's what sin is. You're committing a trespass against the Lord. And what we do to one another, now you're not God, I'm not God. You do me wrong, you've trespassed against me. You've not really sinned against me, except in the sense that you sinned before God. You sin against God by trespassing against me. Is that clear? Y'all understand? It makes a big difference when you start looking at things and understanding it, how it really is. Trespass is also what we call treachery. How many of you know what treachery is? In our world and all the movies and books and everything you've read and watched, you think treachery is like sneakiness or something like that. That's what you think. Treachery is violation of allegiance or of faith and confidence. It's violation of trust. Treachery. It's when you're two-faced. That's what treachery is, being two-faced. It's smiling and acting like you love somebody and gaining their trust and confidence while at the same time you're behind their back working against them. That's treachery. It's a betrayal of faith and confidence. The man who betrays his country and violates his allegiance to his country, he's guilty of treachery. Well, we call that treason. When it's your country and you're treacherous against your country, it's treason. What's the punishment for treason? Death. Yes, sir. The man who violates his faith, pledged to his friend, or betrays a trust which carries a promise of faithfulness, he's guilty of treachery. You know, like you put your money in the bank says it's safe with us. Your secret's safe with me. Well, that's another thing I've got to read here. But you trust somebody with something. It's mentioned in the scripture here. Something that was given in trust. It was the first thing mentioned. That was in that which was delivered to him to keep. Somebody gave you something to keep, like you put your money in the bank. Then you go check your balance and it ain't all there. That's treachery. And it's also thievery. And it's also a bunch of things. But it's a trespass. Don't you think if somebody steals from you, that's a trespass? Mm-hmm. That's what this is all about here. This whole thing is about things and goods and property. That's all it's dealing with here. Now, I won't get ahead of myself here, but the disclosure of a secret committed to somebody in confidence, that's treachery. Somebody tells you something and says, you know, just keep this between you and me, then you go tell it to somebody else, that's treachery. That's trespass. A trespass is treachery. It's not being real. It's not being true. It's saying one thing and doing another. It's deception. It's lying. It's deceiving. That's why it's so important. That's why God hates a lying tongue. If any man trespass against the Lord, and what's the next word? There in the scripture. And lie to his neighbor. If any man commit, if any soul sin, and trespass against the Lord, and lie. And lie. And so that's what it all amounts to. It's a lie. I've told you over and over, all sin begins with a lie. And then it's carried right on with lies. But this is really important stuff here. Trespass against God is constituted by our trespass against another person. When we trespass against another person, one another, whoever it is, if we commit a trespass against one another, we have trespassed against God. It's not just between me and you. Now that's the way the world lives. See, and that's why sin's never dealt with, because they count God out. This is just us. We're just people. We live here and we do. This is all of us. We just do what we want. And we take care of our own problems. And we got the courts and we got the police and we got everything. They don't count God in any of it. Husband and wife get all crossways of one another. They try to work it out among themselves without God. Don't work. Children fighting, any conflict, anything involved in the trespasses that we commit against one another, God's rarely counted in, but he's always in. And it's not fixed without God. That's right. There's, you know, if you trespass against me, I can forgive you that trespass against me. But you sinned against God. Now what about that? What are you going to do about that? It ain't taken care of unless you also seek God's forgiveness for sinning against him in trespassing against me. Everything that everybody does to another person, God takes it personally. It is personal against God. You've defied his law. You've ignored him. You've counted him out. You've not reverenced him. You've not regarded him at all. None of his business. But I belong to him, and so does everybody else. I mean, everybody, God counts them that way. It don't matter. You know, God, He's marking everything that everybody does to one another. Not just saved people. Not just lost people. Everybody. Everybody's going to give account for everything they do while they're here on this earth. So it does matter. When we violate the moral law, it is a sin against God and a trespass against the person or persons that we've wronged. We don't trespass against another person without sinning against God. And we trespass against one another, and when we do, we sin against God. Now, I've said that over and over, but let me read you some scriptures here. Luke chapter 15, verse 21. Now we're going to the New Testament, and just listen to the language and the way the words are framed and ordered, and see if you can understand it a little better in light of what we've just been talking about. Luke 15, 21. And the son, this is the prodigal son, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He trespassed against his father, and he sinned against God. And that's exactly what he said. He had it. He understood more than most so-called Christians do today about how to deal with their sin. Well, I done somebody wrong, but I went to him, asked him to forgive me, so now everything's okay. What about God? You did God more wrong than you did them. And did you just go to God and say, Lord, forgive me for what I did to them, didn't do nothing, take care of it between you and them? That's wrong. It ain't never going to work. You didn't offer a trespass offering. You skipped the whole thing. You went around and God and everything that he ordered about it. Here's another one. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Oh, this, you know this verse. And David said unto Nathan, you know what he said? He said, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Now David's trespass was beyond what we're talking about tonight. And we'll get to that at the end here if I can. But what we're talking about there, David had committed adultery and murder. Death penalty. And God put away his sin. Because David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Psalm 51, verse 4, David's still talking about it. He said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. If you don't understand what I'm talking about tonight, what we've been talking about already, you don't get that. Your first thought is, well, what about Bathsheba? What about Uriah? What about Ahithophel, her grandfather? He sinned against all of them. No, he trespassed against all of them. Sin, he said, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Sin's a stronger word. It carries a lot more gravity. Trespass. And what we're talking about here is stuff. Junk. Worldly stuff that ain't worth nothing. No lasting consequences. What is it? A house, a car, money, a donkey. You know, what is all that junk? It's worthless, temporal things. Sin, what David's talking about here is way more heavy than that. The person who is wronged by another person may forgive the trespass against him, but the sin that's behind the trespass must be forgiven by God alone. I ain't going to trespass against you unless I trample God's law under my feet and God himself. I've got to spit in God's face and trample his law under my feet to trespass against you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 through 15. For, Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, he doesn't say sins, Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, does God forgive my trespass against you? No, you got to forgive me my trespass against you. God's got to forgive me the sin that led me. See, what caused me to do that is sin before God. I sinned against God in trespassing against you. I've got to seek your forgiveness and, if possible, make restitution and more. Compensate you for the trouble I've caused you. 20%. Now, if I want to be forgiven, if I want you to forgive me, then that's what I got to do. And if I do that, then God said He'll forgive me my trespass against Him. Boy, that's a whole lot different than what everybody thinks about sin nowadays, ain't it? It's between me and God. Ain't none of your business. God's forgiven me. I don't care what you think. Not quite right. Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus said this too. He said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." All right, now that's God's instruction to the ones who are being trespassed against. You don't demand your rights. Rebuke him. Say, "Hey, you did me wrong. I mean, you can't take my stuff. Give it back." If he says, "I'm sorry," and he restores it, like the Bible commands here, then you're to forgive him. You have no right not to forgive him if he absolutely makes it right as much as he can, according to God's word and God's law here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Do you ever wonder why he said that twice? If it's just the same thing, why did he say it twice? It ain't the same thing. Dead in trespasses, you treated other people terrible. You didn't care for nobody. All you out for yourself, and you didn't care what happened. "Do unto others, for they do unto me." That was your rule for life. Trespassing. You're dead in your trespasses. You didn't care about nobody but yourself. And sins, because you didn't care about God either, obviously. You wouldn't be trespassing against other people if you cared anything about God. If you had any fear of God at all, any reverence, any faith in God, you wouldn't be doing that to everybody else. This is why God's people have always been holy people, charitable people, good people, loving, giving, benevolent, kind, gracious, merciful. That describes God's people, who are really God's people. They fear God, and they don't trespass against one another. It's a little book we're reading. You know, that's what I told you before. The guy started out in his introduction, and one of the things he said was his desire was that none of this would hurt anybody, because he didn't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to trespass against people if you're right with God. If you fear God and you don't want to sin in the sight of God, you're very careful how you treat other people. You don't want to hurt them. You ain't a bullying around and a pushing your weight around. You ain't like a little banty rooster with his chest sticking out, a crowing all the time, and a daring everybody to do something to you. Better not do that, I'll pay you all. That ain't your attitude. Colossians chapter 12, or 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." It is amazing how many times you get your concordance, start looking, how many times sins and trespasses are mentioned together like that. And we just skip over to all these years, just skip over it, not pay no attention, just think, "Well, you're talking about the same thing, sin and trespass, yeah, sin and trespass." He's just saying the same thing over and over. No, he's talking about what we're talking about here tonight. You need to understand how that when you do wrong, it hurts your neighbor, That's what moral law is about. Not hurting one another. Not violating one another. Not being an offense to one another. A stumbling block. And sin is between us and God. That's where sin lies. Sin is between us and God. God has to forgive us our sin. All right. The trespass offering covers all the aspects of the damage done by our trespasses and sins. Sin has to be atoned for and forgiven by God. Trespasses must be forgiven by the injured party. Restitution must be made to the injured party. That's the scripture we read tonight. First seven verses, this is what it tells us. Give it back. Whatever you took, give it back in full. If you took 20 bucks, you don't give back 19. You give back 20 bucks plus 20%. Another $4. You give $24 back instead of 20. Restitution's got to be made. Plus 20% to compensate them for the trouble. Now, you know, we could go on. I read a lot of stories today about restitution and stuff. I remember Brother Owen talking about how he worked in that Morton frozen food factory over there in Crozet before he got saved. And he said they'd eat them pies. They'd sneak around and eat them pies. Didn't know how many he ate. But after he got saved, he said, boy, the Lord just dealt with him about it. And he called or wrote a letter or something. But anyway, he contacted them and told them. He said, I've got saved. And he said, I have to pay back what I stole. And he just was very liberal in what the amount. But he just said he had to be right with God, to have any peace with God. He had to make restitution. He said he'd stole a bunch of tools from a guy he worked for up in New York. And there's them tools. And he said he went back up there and found the guy and gave them tools back to him. And told him, you know, the Lord done saved me and I stole them from you. Modern Christians laugh at that. They think that's nonsense. Yeah, just legalism. Don't have to do that. God's forgiven you. Why you worry about them? Just do not understand. How many people you reckon is going to be in hell thinking they was a Christian sitting in the church pew because they God forgave them and don't you judge me and ain't nobody got right to judge me. And I got right with God. I know I did a lot of rotten stuff before I got saved, but God forgave me all my sins. Preacher told me so. Trespass offering deals with sins where restitution can be made. You hear me? This trespass offering deals with sins where restitution can be made. This includes matters of property and goods. That's all this is talking about. Property that's been entrusted with safekeeping and he lies about it so he can keep it for himself or in any way tries to avoid responsibility for its loss. Well, it ain't my fault, you know. No, somebody entrusts you with something. I mean, again, you put your money in the bank. The bank gets robbed and they say, too bad, somebody stole your money. Not my fault. That ain't how it works, is it? No, it's not. You go borrow something from somebody and break it and ruin it. Do you just take it back to them all broke? Now, I've known a lot of people that have done that. They bring it back ruined and say, well, there it is. I'm sorry. Is that right?
No.
Do you feel like you've been wronged when somebody does that? Yeah. They trespassed against you. Because they had your stuff and they didn't keep it faithfully.
Right.
Yeah. I remember when I first went to Virginia, I remember Kim's dad had a chop saw and we had it in the church there using it. And, you know, I sawed a nail with it. And we sawed a board or something and it had a nail in it and I hit a nail and I didn't see it. But it ruined the blade. So I bought a new blade and put on it. And I remember Steve thought, well, man alive, you didn't have to do that. Well, I sawed the nail with it. He had a good blade in it. How can you turn around and give something back to somebody? Right.
Yeah.
Say, well, sorry about your blade. You remember when Raul borrowed Gallo's truck and wrecked it, brought it back in, all smashed up, drunk or a skunk, run into a pole or something with it? Trespass. It's wrong. Fellowship, he talks about in that word there. Well, that's like partnership. You're partners with somebody in business. You're supposed to be faithful to one another. You're supposed to look after his interests like they were your interest. Not try to cheat him and chisel him and make everything work for your good and to his bad. All right, ain't that right? That's what it's talking about. He lies to his partner and any other way acts treacherously against him to defraud him. He mentions violence there. Just flat robbing somebody and taking away from them something that is theirs. Or doing it by any unjust means. Rationalizing and saying, well, you know, that used to be mine. Or, I feel like you owed me something, so I just took it. That's the way a lot of people do. They feel like, well, you got plenty. You got two of them and I ain't got none. Why? So I figure like, why should you have two and me none? So I just took it. It's fair. See, that's violence. It's unjust. Or it's just flat violence like we talk about. By force. Just take it from somebody. So I'm taking this. I'm claiming this is mine. It's a trespass. It's stuff. It's talking about stuff, things. Finding something that was lost and keeping it for yourself when you know it belongs to somebody else. Oh. If you saw somebody get out of their car or at the cash register, you seen a $100 bill drop on the floor, would you put your foot over on it and keep it? Isn't that the way it happened in the bathroom one time? Said we had them tracks that looked like $20 bills and you threw it down there and the guy reached out there and put his foot on it. You remember that? Yeah, and then slid it back. I mean, that guy knew that he was standing there and he thought, ha, it's mine now. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's the rule, see? That's what it's talking about here. You find something that somebody else has lost. That's what it says. Something that's lost. And you find it, and you just, this is my lucky day. No, that's a trespass. Same as stealing. These are the last three commandments. Thou shalt not covet from the bottom up. Thou shalt not bear false witness, lie, and thou shalt not steal. That's all. Now remember, that's all of the law that this trespass offering is covering here. That it's talking about right here. Stealing, lying, and coveting. You know. Coveting is the source of lying and stealing. Remember when we preached about the Ten Commandments? You go to the bottom and start up. And I was talking the other day to her. I was thinking about this, you know, and all these offerings. If you look at these offerings from the end backwards, it makes all the more sense. It's like he took the end, the burnt offerings, the last one, and the trespass offering is the beginning, the first one. You get your sin, your trespasses forgiven, then your sin against God, you get that taken care of, and then you got peace offering. And then you got a meat offering where you dedicate what you got to God, and the burnt offering's burning up the rest of it, and it's all gone. See? Start at the last, come back to the first. From right to left instead of left to right. So that's the way those people wrote and thought and everything else. So take that into account when you're studying the Bible, and it'll make a lot more sense to you that way. The trespasses that cannot be undone were more complicated. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. All right, now listen to me. We go over to Leviticus 20 and read that whole chapter, and it's all about sexual immorality. All sexual immorality, are you listening to me, cannot be fixed. There can be no restitution made. Can't be done. You can't fix it. You can't make it right. You can't put things back. Like you can give money back or things back or a borrowed item back or some piece of junk. You can give it back to them, give them some more money and everything's good. they're back like they was and maybe a little better. Can't do that with these sins. These trespasses. You can't do that. What's done is done. That's why he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Can't fix it. All a wrong has been done in all of those sin, trespasses and sins that cannot be corrected. And the penalty was death. Penalty was death for all of them. All the sexual sins, the penalty was death. Now, you may be so worldly that you can't even get a grasp on the reality of that, but God takes it that serious, and it is really that serious. People take it that serious. It's all fun and games for you right now. But boy, it won't be. When the trespass is against you, then you will feel it then. Right. You'll realize it then. As long as it's you are the trespasser, you think it's fun, and you think you're the stud or something. Or the beauty queen. I don't know what women think. I have no idea how they take pride in all of that. I don't understand. They ought to be ashamed. I don't know how they could not be ashamed. But whatever it is, they keep a doing it, and they bail into it, and they do it willingly, and I don't understand. But I do know this, when the tables are turned and you're the one trespassed against, then you'll look at it a whole lot different. All wizards and witches and necromancers, that's people who talk to dead people, Ouija boards and familiar spirits and all of this nonsense and cards and crystal balls and all of that, same thing. Same thing. Death penalty. Because what they did, the damage they did in their trespasses against other people with that stuff, could not be fixed. They poison people's souls with that devilment and demonic stuff. And it can't be fixed. They're always tainted with that. And so they were to be put to death. Murder was a trespass that could not be made right. You kill somebody, they're dead. You may get forgiven, but they're still dead. You've taken their life, and you've trespassed not only against them, but against their family, loved ones, children, spouse, parents, friends. I mean, you've hurt a lot of people and injured a lot of people. And it's the same way with these other sins. They blossom out and spread out like a cancer to other people. And that's why they're so serious. Trespass offering was for someone who wanted to be right with others and right with God. That's what the trespass offering is for. It was for the person who had repented and wanted to have a clean conscience before God and man. But not everyone that did wrong wanted to be right any more than they do today. I mean, if this included everybody, the church house would be so full we couldn't get them in here tonight. But most people don't give one hoot about nothing. They ain't wanting to be right. They ain't seeking to be forgiven. They don't care if they've hurt you. They don't care if they've taken your stuff, ruined your stuff, lost your stuff, injured you in any way. They don't care. And they don't care what God thinks. And they ain't seeking forgiveness. They're looking for the next one to take, to hurt, to consume upon themselves. So there was civil law and judges that enforced the penalties for these trespasses. You can go ahead and steal stuff. You can go ahead and rob people's houses and take their tools and their money and everything. You can go around raping and killing and pillaging and you can go around abusing and being a pervert and all of this. Yeah, go ahead. And you can be totally unwilling and unrepentant. Unwilling to be forgiven and unwilling to repent. You can do that. But we have laws that will deal with you about that. Whether you have any kind of thought of God, whether you have any concern for the people you've injured, we have the law of the land that will deal with you. Now, we're living in a time of apostasy when judgment's turned around backwards and truth's fallen in the street and there's no equity found in the land, so it's hard to get justice. It's like in Noah's day. Violence filled the earth was filled with violence. That means injustice. Nothing was right. People didn't get punished for their sins by the civil law. But in Israel, they did. That's the way it was. Breach for breach. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Now that was the civil law. You can go ahead and be a heathen. You can go ahead and be a wretch. You can go ahead and refuse to repent. You can refuse to make restitution, seek forgiveness, seek making it right. But it's not gonna, you're not gonna get away with it. You hurt somebody, we're gonna do it to you. The law is gonna do it to you. You'd be a whole lot better to seek forgiveness and restitution, make restitution, wouldn't you? And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. There you got both of them right there. He that killeth a beast shall restore it. Make restitution. He that killeth a man shall be put to death. So that's in Leviticus 24. 24:20, 24:21. And then in verse 22, it says, "Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God." They didn't come in and set up Sharia law in Israel. There was forgiveness and restoration available, but most did not avail themselves of it any more than people do today. What kind of world would it be if everybody just sought to live together in peace and not do anybody wrong and fear God and walk before Him? You see, you're not going to care about other people if you don't care about God. That's the key. That's why we're done in this country and this whole world. We've thrown God out. We've counted Him out of everything. We're going to deal with our own problems every way we... And this is what we got. Well, you don't fear God, and you don't regard God, and you don't care about sinning before God. Sin's a joke. Fools make a mock at sin. Sin is not between me and you. Sin is between me and God. And you and God. Trespasses are between me and you. We trespass against one another, and when we do, we sin against God. If a person would truly repent and turn to God and abandon his evil ways, there was even forgiveness available for those trespasses that carried the death penalty. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Now David had injured a lot of people. He'd given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. That's what Nathan charged him with. That was the damage that he had done. But God forgave him. Why? Because David repented. He sincerely did. He tried to make right what he could. If you read on, you'll see where David comforted his wife, Bathsheba. He raised Solomon. He tried to get along with her grandfather, but he was so bitter he couldn't. But there was forgiveness available. Psalm of David, Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There was forgiveness available. God forgave David. They brought a woman caught in adultery in the very act in John chapter 8 to Jesus and said, "We caught her in the very act. Now, what does the law say?" Jesus said, "Well, the law says stone. But let he that hath no sin cast the first stone. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." And you know how he wrote on the ground, and they all slowly, one by one, they went away until it was just Jesus and the woman. And he said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "No man, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. You got away with it." Is that right?
No.
Go and sin no more. There's a lot more to that story than what we read right there. There was forgiveness. My point is, there was forgiveness available, even for those capital sins. Isaiah 44, verse 22. "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Transgressions are almost the same as trespasses. It's a violation. It's a injury done through violation of a law. That's what a transgression is. Zechariah 3, let me read this and then we'll quit. "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by." So, God forgives. And he clothes you with righteousness. But you got to want it. You got to be willing. First, let there be first a willing heart. This is where you start, the trespass offering. I mean, this is where you start with God. You don't start with the burnt offering. You start with the trespass offering. You don't start with the peace offering. None of that. You don't start with the meat offering. You start with the trespass offering. Sin has to be dealt with. Our sin against God and our trespasses against one another. First thing, first order of business, when you want to come to God, when you want to be right, that's what must be dealt with. Can't go no farther. You can't approach God. You can't come to God with an offering until you come to God with a trespass offering first. And in order to do that, you got to make it right with whoever you've wronged. I mean, Jesus said, if you come to the altar and you remember that your brother hath aught against you, leave your gift on the altar and go make it right with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. See? Well, it's wonderful how Jesus was so consistent, so meticulously consistent with the law in every word he said, in every situation he dealt with. When you get to looking at it and you understand some of this, it just makes you want to shout every time you find... You've read what he said, and you just kind of... He said so much with so few words, and we've read it for 40-some years, and it's still... You can go back and read it, knowing this, and it's just like, it's another thing. I understand. Now I know what he's saying. I didn't ever notice that he said it that way and what he meant. It's the Word of God. It's rich, 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 rich. Sure help you. It'll sure edify you if you understand all these things. Amen. All right, well, let's stand. There it went. I have to leave it in there because it flashes. And that's a distraction too. God has arranged things so that men could live together in peace and love, and it'd sure be wonderful. Can't even have a church anymore where the people in the church who claim to know God and be saved and washed in the blood and going to heaven, yes, sir, hallelujah. Can't even have a church, can't even have a meeting without all this trespassing against one another. And they don't even care. It's counted as nothing. Insignificant. You're not even anywhere close to being right with God until you're right with one another. That's why that I've seen through the years when I've really seen God move without exception. It's when people get right with one another, then God can move in. Yeah. All right, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the sweetness of it. Thank you for the meat that's there. Please help us, Lord, to swallow this down and add to our understanding. And, Lord, incorporate it into the way we think and the way we deal with one another and other people. And help us, Lord. It's so clear, so clear. And it all comes together and it all paints the same picture. And, Lord, help us if we fumble around here and don't understand and don't get it because we don't listen and don't think. Please, Lord, help us that this would improve our witness and testimony for you, that it would make us more effective, more a better representative that could honor you more. Lord, go with us now and help us with this. Get us home safely, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.